Briefing over to Councillor Sam Chase.
Do a quick safety briefing. Please note that we are on the third floor of the building. In the event of a fire or fire alarm, please exit out of the nearest door and meet near table 6 in the courtyard. A defibrillator is located on the right wall of the steps as you are going down to Grand Avenue stairs. In the event of a medical or fire emergency, please call 911 and notify the security agent at our front desk. The nearest fire extinguisher is across from this room. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. We have public communication now. If anyone wishes to testify an item that is not on today's agenda, now is the time to do so. If anyone wishes to testify an item today that is on today's agenda, we will call you up at that time. If you could fill out a blue form and hand it to the clerk, that would be awesome. I have one person who has signed up already, and that is Ron Swarren. If you could come forward, and there'll be 3 minutes on the clock, and your topic today is transportation.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Good afternoon, Council members, President Peterson. Ms. Peterson hasn't been in Portland for much of the past few years, and our conversations on the interstate traffic issues and various proposals that have been submitted by people, I would like to put in some things, and I think I can substantiate a lot of what I say from public information. I've been interested in the Columbia River crossing and interstate traffic issues, but I'm coming from a fiscally conservative viewpoint. And one thing I gave you as an example, what we can accomplish is shown in this communication through ODOT. A few years ago, they were talking about perhaps several billion dollars for seismic upgrades in the Oregon state, in Oregon highways. And through my experience in seismic work and what I could find out on the internet, I was able to show that the latest scientific studies pinpoint a greater seismic risk on the southwest Oregon coast. So this letter from Matt Garrett within ODOT is stating how they will concentrate a lot of those efforts in that area. And it's, they started out with a $5 billion possibility anyway. So far they've had $40 million appropriated to the Oregon legislature, and they sent me an email saying they thought they would be able to reduce that original projection 80 to 90%. So on to the Columbia River crossing. I participated a lot in the discussions. I was at a citizen forum at Robert Liberty, and a former Metro employee Keith Lawton were at, and I proposed what I call completion of the ring road. And Mr. Lawton did say that he liked that idea the best out of 15 ideas that we've had. So what I've handed out now, in 2017, Washington County completed a study. And if you look at page 2 of this study, there's something that they call the Northern Connector. And that's basically connecting Cornelius Pass Road and Columbia Boulevard. I call it the Western Arterial Highway. So when I've been at meetings, sometimes I have this sign that says Western Arterial Highway makes sense, because of the many different suggestions we see of alleviating the I-5 congestion. This really is the simplest idea. It can utilize existing roads. It would need some features that are more expensive. I gave an estimate at this forum of what I thought, but the other thing I'd like to point out, it's usable for transit, too. And as we see this region grow, not only are we having west side transit issues, but with communities like Camas and Washougal growing, there's east side. Can I talk a little bit more since I'm the only person?
3 minutes.
Anyway, that's...
You can wrap up.
Yes, we can have two bridges with what's called a network tight arch design, which Waldport already has. Very cost effective. We can solve everything for much less than other ideas that I've seen.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks so much, and thanks for the written testimony. I will close public testimony on non-agenda items, seeing that there's no one else coming forward or receiving other blue cards, and move on to the consent agenda. Today's consent agenda consists of three items: resolution number 19-4966, resolution number 19-4961, and the minutes for the January 31st, 2019 council meeting. Do I have a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Motion was made by Councillor Craddock and seconded by Councillor Dirksen. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It passes. Thank you. Moving on to our big one resolution of the day. We now move on to resolutions. The first is resolution number 19-4960 for the purpose of amending the Oregon Zoo Bond Implementation Plan to allocate program reserves. We have Dr. Dom Moore, the Oregon Zoo Director, Heidi Ron, the Metro staff, and Susan Hartnett from the Oregon Zoo Bond Citizen Oversight Committee Chair. Wow. It's a really long title, Susan. Here to make a presentation, and if I may, just call out Susan Hartnett as one of my first bosses in Portland many, many years ago when she oversaw me working on my master's thesis on traffic calming devices. So welcome.
She claims I'm one of her ex-bosses as well.
So
she really was.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. That's better.
So with that, who's going to kick us off?
I will. Good afternoon, Heidi. Council President Peterson, fellow councilors. I'm Heidi Ron. I oversee our capital project planning at Metro, and I'm excited to be here with you today. I know you share the excitement with me that we are wrapping up the Zoo Bond program. We have two more years of construction, and we are in the home stretch. So we're here today to share our plans with you, how we want to successfully wrap up that program. I'm joined by Oregon Zoo Director Don Moore, as well as the chair of the Oregon Zoo Bond Citizens Oversight Committee, Susan Hartnett. We also fortunately have a strong staff team here today to help answer any questions. I want to call out Sarah Keen. Sarah Keen has been the finance manager at the zoo for a few years and recently took on overseeing zoo bond administration and finance while I complete the construction delivery. And for those of you who are new, Jim Mitchell is behind me. He has successfully led construction of every single zoo bond program since we launched. So we are pleased to have his leadership and the two of them here today to help answer any questions. I'm going to go over a little bit of the history and our accomplishments, and then I'll turn it over to Don to describe how the projects are going to improve the welfare of our animals. I'll wrap up with some of the finances and the proposal on the table today and turn it over to Susan to share the Oversight Committee's recommendation with you. So let's give you some history. As you know, we've completed five of the eight major projects that were promised in the 2008 Zoo Bond Measure. And from the beginning, we promised that these new facilities would support animal welfare, increase our community's access to conservation education, and make our campus much more sustainable. So what you see on your screen, the brown projects have been complete, and those in green are the ones that we are working on now. So starting in 2012, we completed the Veterinary Medical Center. It replaced a cramped and antiquated hospital with a LEED Gold certified building. This has really created a custom design to support our veterinary care and in the care and healing of animals that range from penguins to pythons. So now our patients recuperate in climate-controlled spaces that open to fresh air and sky views and can be adapted for swimming, crawling, or climbing. The next project was the penguin filtration system. So keepers used to dump and refill the penguin pool twice a week. And a new filtration system added in 2012 changed that. Today, the water stays sparkling clean. The keepers spend more time caring for the animals, and we save more than 6.5 million gallons of water a year just on that project. Next up was Condors of the Columbia. Condors have been absent from the skies of Oregon since 1910. But with the opening of Condors of the Columbia in 2014, Oregon Zoo visitors are now able to view these iconic birds, learn about our work with partners to bring them back from the brink of extinction, and learn how they can help avoid the use of lead ammunition. The most ambitious project ever undertaken by the Oregon Zoo, Elephant Lands, provides an expansive, stimulating habitat custom designed to support the health and welfare of our elephant family by encouraging activity and providing choice. Visitors get to see elephants be elephants, whether from the comfort of beautiful Forest Hall or from the viewing area in front of the elephant's 160,000-gallon pool. Sand surfaces keep elephant feet healthy and their bodies fit. This opened in 2015, and it also included creation of a new route for the zoo train and very significant sustainable infrastructure investment. Our last project to be completed was the Education Center in 2017. From a sustainability perspective, this is our pride and joy. This center achieved LEED Platinum, the highest rating from the U.S. Green Building Council. And this was our intent, to model for visitors the variety of ways that we can all save energy and water in our homes and businesses. The Education Center's purpose is really to connect visitors with nature and to help them discover that small things matter. That brings us to our final three projects, and you can see them shaded here on the map. Because they are clustered in the very heart of the zoo, we are treating them as a single construction project. This will help us save time, costs, and be more efficient in construction. I'm going to turn it over to Don to describe the exciting features of those projects.
Council President Peterson, councilors, nice to see you again, especially Councilors Gonzalez and Lewis. This is our third meeting together today. Councilor Dirksen, our second meeting together today. So I'd like to describe the importance of these projects for our animals, our visitors, and our community. Over the next 2 years, we will replace outdated and dilapidated facilities with an expanded rhino habitat and brand new habitats for primates and for polar bears. As with all of the previous bond funding projects, these will far exceed both the promises we made and community expectations for the zoo. For black rhinos, I'm going to describe the projects in order, and then first we'll expand this black rhino habitat. You'll recall that the bond originally called for a new water-saving filtration system for hippos. During our master planning process, we recognized that this water-saving system would require a lot of energy to run. So we stepped back, consulted our community, and determined to expand the rhino enclosure instead. And to avoid any concerns regarding this change, the Oregon Zoo Foundation has agreed to fund this project in its entirety. The expanded habitat will provide rhinos with more and better space, and the remodeled habitat will improve their welfare, which also translates to more opportunities for rhino breeding in the future. Visitors will have much better rhino viewing and opportunities for amazing up-close encounters. And I'm going to just say as an aside, those bollards are already in place, so this project is moving very quickly. The second project to be completed will be a new habitat focused on great apes. The antiquated primate building is now gone and will be replaced with a large, adaptable, multi-level habitat for an expanded family of chimpanzees. When completed in 2020, they will have twice their current space in a great habitat with a lot more flexibility and features that support chimps' natural behaviors. Like humans, chimpanzees are highly social, and two outdoor habitats and an indoor atrium with adaptable climbing structures will provide chimps with a lot more choice over who they hang out with, plus stimulating activities that change every day. It will also support breeding and mothers with infants like this one. Raising babies is an important group activity that involves the entire troop, so it's great for animal welfare as well. Primate forest visitors are in for a much more meaningful experience. They'll learn about the similarities and distinct differences between the two apes and their respective habitats in Africa and Asia. They'll learn about climate change and deforestation through experiencing these animals. And orangutans in particular face a dire future as their remaining habitat is being rapidly converted to oil palm plantations. Visitors will learn about their direct connection to palm oil through the products they buy and how they can make lifestyle changes and take personal action for conservation. All right, so we'll transition to the Arctic. You all know that I could talk for about 5 days about the Arctic, but right across Zoo Street we'll have our new Polar Passage polar bear habitat. And as most of you know, I've been working with polar bears and even my colleague Amy Cutting at Oregon Zoo for about 20 years. Amy and I first met when I was with the New York Zoos and through Polar Bears International. I'm working on the ground in Churchill, Manitoba, where this picture was taken. And her work gives huge credibility to our polar bear program and connects us to the world issues affecting their populations in the wild. It's worth mentioning here that Amy and the other expert animal care staff at the zoo and I work directly with the architects and other members of our design team to make sure these habitats are outstanding homes for our animals, providing them with the best possible animal welfare. And this process took about 3 years to get these designs right, making sure that they address our animals' needs while taking into account operations and supporting essential zoo revenue generation, all while staying within budget in the midst of a challenging construction market. With every project, the bond projects have vastly exceeded our community's expectations and our promises to the community and the bond measure. I feel really confident in the final designs, and I know that our community will be amazed. Tossel? Are we there? Oh, okay. No, go back. Okay. I'll talk about that. I wanted to talk about what people will see, and that is Amy and I worked really hard to develop a rendering of the habitat that would look pretty much like Churchill, Manitoba. So the large landscapes that polar bears need for distant visibility that is great for their welfare, a saltwater pool that's filtered and very, very efficient, and that's good for their hair coat and their skin. So everything that we designed into this habitat and its holding areas is great for polar bear welfare. The habitat will also include shady areas to keep the bears cool and natural areas underfoot that encourage digging and exploring. And then Tossel, yeah. As you may know, our polar bears, Conrad and Tossel, learn to participate in their own health checkups, even voluntarily providing blood samples. This led to a unique partnership with the U.S. Geological Survey, the lead agency studying polar bears in the Arctic. Our work gathering data in support of their scientific discoveries will be on view for visitors in Polar Passage. And I'm going to add that they also helped us with this habitat design and putting the research out front for our visitors to see. We're pretty proud of that relationship. The melting ice bear. Our visitors will learn about the bear's reliance on sea ice for hunting their primary prey, ring seals, that supply the high-fat diet they need for survival. And we expect that visitors will make the connection between their own activities and the rising temperatures and melting sea ice in the Arctic. And one of the ways we'll make this connection is through this heart-tugging new sculpture, part of our 1% for Art program. This is world-class art by internationally acclaimed artists and will be an important addition to Portland's art scene. You know, Portland metro area visitors think of this as their community zoo. And when I talk to my colleagues from around the country, we realize that we kind of punch way above our weight. We're a world-class zoo in this community. And this is going to be really well reflected in this amazing melting ice bear sculpture, a world-class piece of art. And I'm going to turn it back to Heidi.
So that brings us back to why we're here today. You'll recall that the zoo completed a 20-year master plan. The 2008 bond measure is funding the first 10 years of that master plan. After the master plan was designed, we created a bond implementation plan. As part of that bond implementation plan, we set aside budgets for every project, and we set aside a solid contingency to make sure we could get to the end of the program. Since 2011, when we originally set those budgets, we've seen extreme cost escalation in the region, and while we did budget for some cost escalation, nowhere near what we've actually seen. So at this time, we have a cost estimate on our final projects, and we are seeking approval to amend our budget. So the construction will exceed the currently allocated budget by about $3.2 million, or 7% over the current budget. And the breakdown is in the resolution on the screen between Polar Passage and Primate Forest. And in addition to construction cost, the updated schedule extends the program duration, which required an additional $1.65 million in program administration and central service support. I should note, and many of you have heard the updates on this, we have spent the past year value engineering these projects. We have cut about $6 million of scope and work out of the projects to try to get this into a position that we felt we could successfully complete. At this point, we feel like the final designs meet the needs of our animals, the visitors, and the staff, and additional reductions would have long-term consequences for the zoo and its daily operations and the ability to generate revenue. But thanks to previous council direction, we have significant contingency set aside to make sure that we can complete this program. So in addition to what we've currently already allocated to the project budgets, the zoo bond program has approximately $5.7 million available in contingency and closeout funds to support the completion. We're recommending that we allocate approximately $4.85 million of those funds to construct polar passage and primate forests and support program administration. After that, that still leaves us with around $844,000 in closeout contingency funds to make sure we can address anything that comes up. And I should note the projects also have significant contingency built into their budgets. With that, I want to make sure you understand the role of the Oregon Zoo Bond Citizens Oversight Committee has been critical to the success of the program. I've had the honor of working with the committee for the past 5 years, and they've brought their wisdom, their tough questions, and their guidance to us on progress and finances. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to the chair, Susan Hartnett, to express the process that that committee went through to make a recommendation.
So thank you, Heidi and Dr. Moore, and I do thank Don cumulatively. I've heard all 5 days of your polar bear experience, and I always find out something new and interesting, so I'm not done yet. And let me say good afternoon, President Peterson. I really enjoy saying that, and good afternoon to the rest of the council members. So before I do my piece on the topic at hand, I do want to take a moment to thank the council for placing trust in me to serve you and the Metro community as the chair of the Oversight Committee. My predecessors left big shoes. I will do all I can to fill them. It has been really rewarding for me to be part of this work since 2014. I was very honored to have been asked to join the committee and even more so to be appointed as the chair. My commitment is to remain with the committee until the bond program closes out. I'm very interested also in thinking about that second 10 years of the master plan. So you will probably see me here for the next couple of years. Not daily, though. So on to the topic at hand, the resolution in front of you to allocate zoo bond program reserves to the two projects and the program needs. The zoo bond oversight committee has been very engaged in this topic for several months. And really throughout the course of conceptualizing and figuring out the best course of action for putting these three projects together. And I recall the meeting where Heidi and Jim suggested that maybe the three projects become a single project, and how impressed the committee was with the staff's thinking and creativity and understanding of how that saved money and time. And it's been a constant process with the staff coming up with that kind of stuff, and the committee really appreciates that. We had preliminary information about sort of where we are at with the budget and the challenges of continuing to use value engineering as a way to get the project within budget without loss of some of the underlying commitments that were made to the bond, commitments to animal welfare, conservation education, et cetera. And then in December, we had a very in-depth discussion of the topic. And I will say, as always, the bond staff and zoo leadership did a really fantastic job of keeping the committee very informed, of patiently answering the many questions in detail, sometimes more than once, and then ultimately providing us with tools that allowed us to reach a unanimous recommendation to the council. So because of the timing of when the bids were going to be opened, it was the November meeting where we were able to talk with as much understanding as was possible. The bids were not opened until after that meeting. But staff walked us through four different scenarios that represented the range of possible financial implications to the budget, coming in with bids on budget and then escalating up from there and trying to figure out what would be some options. And we left the meeting with the understanding that once the bids were opened, they would get back to us, let us know which one of the scenarios, and present to us sort of pre-figured out what the recommendation would be based on each one of those scenarios. As part of our discussion, the committee did revisit some guiding principles that were developed as part of a ad hoc budget subcommittee in 2016, which was the last time that the committee needed to make recommendations on budget adjustments. Those guiding principles were also adopted by the Oversight Committee as a whole. The principles support making sure that our allocation recommendations first fulfill the commitments made through the original bond measure and comply with any legal constraints on the funds. Two, use the best and most recent information to align our recommendations with the zoo's conservation programming, anticipated species focus, and animal welfare priorities, as well as looking at things like the American Zoo Association standards, the financial forecasts, and cost estimates, all as current as possible. And then also to keep in mind that there are public perceptions to keep in mind, particularly given the trust the public has placed in spending these funds through a bond measure, making sure that we're thinking about transparency and always recognizing the non-bond fund contributions to these projects. I'm very pleased to tell you that after really careful consideration of the four scenarios and where we ended up given the bids, the information and other information available to us, the Oversight Committee, through a unanimous vote of all 18 members, recommends the allocations in the resolution before you today. The committee's action was taken through an email vote based on the scenarios we had considered in November, informed by the outcomes of the bids. I'd also like to note that members sent emails from as far away as London and Guatemala, and I think that that's an indication of the dedication of this group to serve the community in assuring them that their dollars are being used wisely and consistent with the community's wishes as were expressed through the bond passage in 2008. I also want to make sure I note before I close, the Oregon Zoo Foundation has been an incredible partner in this effort. Their flexibility in these last three projects has really helped get us to the point that we're at, and we, the committee, always appreciates their participation in our meetings. So with that, I'm going to turn it back to Heidi, and I'd be happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Thank you, Susan, and thanks to the entire committee for their support. We feel the process really puts us in a position to be successful, to complete these projects, to meet the commitment made in the ballot measure, and to make sure that we have solid contingency left through the end. And with that, we're happy to take your questions.
Any questions for the panel? Councilor Craddock?
I have a comment.
Okay.
I've had the honor to be represent the Metro Council on the committee. I think almost since the beginning, and it's really been interesting, and I've really enjoyed it. I've learned a lot, and I've become to highly respect the work that the Oversight Committee does, and the role that you play in how we represent our management of our funds that the voters trust us with. And the committee has set the standard on how we manage our other bond measures that we've been able to get support in the region. We, and of course, our natural areas bond measure, but then the recent one, the affordable housing. So I can't thank you enough on the effort and commitment that you've made to the region to make sure that the funds that the voters have trusted us with, or we've used carefully, and we've used them according to what we promised to the voters. And so it's something really to be proud of. And in particular, I know Heidi's heard me say this more than once, but something that to be really proud of is that this was a bond measure that was passed in 2008, and here we are 11 years later, and we are going to be able to complete those projects on time and pretty much within budget, thanks to the Oregon Zoo Foundation's support. And then, of course, thanks to the careful management staff have made to make sure that we've had these robust contingencies that we're able to make this happen. And that's something to be really proud of in comparing ourselves to other agencies in the area that are struggling on how they manage their bond funds because of the significant construction cost escalation over the last few years. So it's something that we should all be bragging about. And this is definitely the standard that's been established for as we move forward in the future for other investments that we make in our region. So I can't thank you enough, and thank you for the bond staff. You guys having that your particular focus, that's all you do, that you've been doing for 5 years, is really, you've really been able to focus and make things happen and do this well. So it's something I want to say thank you. I've been very impressed with being able to listen to the discussions and watch how you get your work done. Thank you.
Well said. Councillor Stacey.
Thank you, Madam President. Councillor Craddock said it all, but you know the saying. I still have to talk. It has indeed been a decade that in which this measure, this undertaking, was challenged by the escalating construction cost environment that Heidi referred to. But the vision of improving the visitor experience, not with kitsch or shiny objects, but with investments that advance animal welfare and improve our conservation education program in ways that are not heavy-handed, means that a lot of magic had to be undertaken over those 10 years. I've been here for 6 of them, and I never stopped being, you know, amazed at what's been done. Much of that is because of careful budgeting and careful and smart bidding and construction practices and management. A lot of it has been from the generosity of our partner, OZF, and a good deal goes to the great financial management by Tim Collier and his team. But year in, year out, Jim, Heidi, you guys have been making sure it happens and holding our contractors to the bids and the commitments they made, and doing it in a way that delivers remarkable results. So I'm in awe, and I'm once again very grateful for your work. And thanks to you and your predecessors on the oversight committee, because that work has been tireless and very helpful to us, Susan. Thank you.
What he said.
Any further council questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll just say thank you again to the public for actually allowing us to move forward on these improvements. Thank you again to staff for shepherding this through. This is a lot of work to make sure that these projects are not projects that you can pull out of a box and say, we know how to do every part of this, right? I mean, you're kind of designing and building as you go based on the needs of very specific animals in a very specific space with very specific materials, and I can't even imagine. So thank you for all of that, and thank you for the oversight. It's a lot of volunteer time. It's a lot of time spent looking at the details, which is very much appreciated. So thank you, Susan, for everything. And please pass that on to the entire Oversight Committee.
Yeah.
Without any further comments, call for a motion on resolution number 19-4960.
Move approval.
Moved by Councillor Chase. Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved by Councillor Lewis. Is there any further discussion? With that, clerk will call the roll.
Councillor. Councillor Stacey?
Aye.
Councillor Craddock?
Aye.
Councillor Chase?
Aye.
Councillor Lewis?
Aye.
Councillor Dirksen?
Yes.
Councillor Gonzalez?
Aye.
Council President Peterson?
Aye. The motion passes. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Good work.
Thank you.
We are on to COO Communications. We've got Andrew Scott sitting in for Martha Bennett today. Nice to see you, our deputy.
See you as well.
What do you have for us today?
I have two very quick items today. given the action you took earlier on consent agenda, congratulations to Paul Sliman, I just wanted to make sure that everyone saw Martha's email yesterday, that Roy Brower, the Solid Waste Information Compliance and Cleanup Program Director, has agreed to serve as the interim director for Property and Environmental Services.
Roy has nearly 20 years of experience at Metro, another 17 years in solid waste, and we are very grateful for his willingness to serve during the interim. Martha is planning to conduct a full recruitment for the regular status director, seeking feedback from staff, stakeholders, community partners, industry partners throughout the entire process, and we expect it's going to take about 4 to 6 months to get a new director in place. And please let Martha know during your next check-in if you have questions or would like more information about that recruitment. And then the second item is Metro's Regional Travel Options Program is calling on artists who represent Cornelius and Rockwood to apply for the opportunity to create original artwork for outreach campaigns that promote walking, biking, sharing rides, and taking transit. The program offers a $5,000 stipend to each artist. The artist will collaborate with a team at Metro and community members to complete the artwork by May 30th of 2019. And if you'd like more information about this program to share with your districts, your policy advisor can reach out to Marnie Duke in planning or visit the Metro website. Those are my items.
Great. Thank you. Councilor Communications? Councilor Craddock.
Thank you. Tuesday was the monthly Regional Transportation Council's Southwest Washington Regional Transportation Council meeting. They are the management planning organization for Southwest Washington. That's a comparable to what the work that JPAC does for the Portland metro region. Their territory or their area is Clark, Skamania, and Klickitat counties and all the cities that are within those three counties. The agenda, there aren't any specific items that I feel is pertinent to share, but I would like to share the legislative update that Matt Ransom, the executive director for the RTC, reported. I thought there's a couple of interesting items on there that we might you might have some interest in. One item you're probably already aware is that Governor Inslee put in his budget $17 million for a startup for the I-5/Columbia River Bridge Project Office. So this will be funding that office that will be working, if Oregon decides to work with them, to plan the bridge over the Columbia River. He also has put some funding into his budget around focusing on multimodal traffic and demand management demonstration projects and strategies. I don't know any specifics about that, but he wants to put some emphasis on that. He also has put money in his budget regarding automated transportation and technology programs, startup activities. And then he's and wanting to expand the electric highway infrastructure charging stations throughout the state. And then the final item he has in his budget that Councillor Dirksen is working on is the multi-state high-speed rail corridor between Portland and Vancouver, B.C. But there are two items in the state legislature that I thought you might have some interest in. One of them is House Bill 1835, which would direct to the Joint Transportation Committee in Washington commission to study and define a new bridge crossing over the Columbia River west of I-5. So that alerted my ears went up on that one. And then the other one is establish new laws affecting RTPOs, which is more specific to the MPOs. But I thought that was interesting, that the first one. So, thank you.
Very. Thank you for the update. Councilor Lewis?
Yes. This morning, Councilor Gonzalez, Dirksen, and myself had the opportunity to attend the Oregon Zoo Foundation in our capacity as ex officio members. And it was a great morning meeting, and we discussed in depth a upcoming event that's in alignment with the capital campaign that's underway. We also had a very good overview of the financial health of the organization, not only the organization on the foundation side, but how it's in line with priorities from the zoo side, and in particular some funds that are under discussion for how the Zoo Foundation wants to spend them. Finally, there was discussion of a first-time venture and hosting a golf tournament. So they're trying new things and a very active group. I don't know if my fellow councilors want to add on to items discussed this morning.
Well, I was very pleased to be there. I appreciate the work that the Zoo Foundation does. And we were presented with their financials today, and my own very brief perusal of them would indicate that on an annual basis, the Zoo Foundation provides almost 10% of the operating revenue for the zoo. And so, as I said to them this morning, it would be extremely difficult, if not impossible, for us to operate the zoo and its programs without their help.
Great. Any other councilors?
I have some points. I have three major points I would like to touch on. The first one is I'm sad to share that the Metro Futsal team suffered a devastating 5-6 loss last night. We got scored on in the last 15 seconds.
Oh.
Yeah. Andy, Sean, and I were there. We're trying to do everything we could. The next is on Monday, I will be joining the Forest Grove Community Enhancement Grant Committee to help craft some of the guidelines and criteria for how community groups will invest the dollars generated by the local waste management site. The next point is that I met with Mayor Truex and the city manager, Jesse Vanderzen from Forest Grove. We discussed housing and transportation. Two things I wanted to share with you is that the city's already done a handful. They performed a land analysis, and they have a handful of city-owned sites that they're presenting to the county as incentives for affordable housing. So they're ahead of the curve there. I was really impressed, really happy with that. Also talked with the city about T2020 and some of the opportunities around community guidelines and jurisdictional transfer. Got some very, very positive feedback. So we have a willing partner in Forest Grove, and that is my communication.
Councilor Stacey.
I should probably point out that immediately following this meeting, I will be hopping in the car and going to Olympia for what I believe is the fourth meeting of the ultra-high-speed ground transport advisory oversight group in the reallocation of liaison responsibilities. I drew the short straw for that one. And while I've shadowed Councilor Dirksen for a couple of meetings of the committee, I look forward to learning more faster at this next meeting.
Me, I suppose,
to get
still Councilor Dirksen.
Yeah, right.
I feel like I'm ping-ponging. Councilor Lewis.
I left off. I had 2 points after the Zoo Foundation meeting. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
First, just to recognize that tonight is the State of the City in the great city of Milwaukee, and I will be attending. I expect the state is strong, but I will report back next week. And then also just a brief report back from my time in New York City at the Young Elected Officials Network's Women's Conference. It was fantastic. A number of presentations and some national polling information along the lines of some of the direction we might go in for employer of choice. And then I also personally benefited from some individual coaching from actress Kathleen Turner. I did not develop her voice, but she gave me a couple of very nice pointers on how to be a better public speaker. I didn't recognize how famous she was in the moment. But, yeah, it was a really wonderful trip to both network with other folks like myself, but really to bring home some resources and materials and sample policies from other places that have already implemented, say, paid family leave.
Cool. Anything else? I got a couple items. I'll go through them quick. First, I do want to welcome Paul Sliman to the council offices. I won't go through the entire amazing resume. He's not here. But needless to say, he has started with the Coast Guard, and because I am now a trained ordinary seaman, that solidified it. But he has amazing team-building skills that we have all seen in his work already at Metro for the last 8 years overseeing PES. But he's an amazing problem solver as well, which I think will help us as we move through, and has a keen interest in equity, which this council has been very positive forward movement on making equity a key goal prior to this council and moving it even further into our actions, not just policy. So I'm excited about that. I want to also thank the council. That's why I'm actually wearing a T-shirt today. This is the Park Rose girls basketball team shirt. I just want to thank those councilors who signed on to the letter to the Oregon State Activities Association. I'll be talking to their executive director this afternoon. And he did indicate that he would be willing to have a conversation with us about the expertise that we now house on how to bring resources to bear to have conversations that are fruitful and move forward accountability as well as better relationships. So I look forward to that conversation. So thank you for all of you, and kudos
to the Park Rose girls basketball team. They will be having a home game on February 12th, and we hope that they do well there. So Park Rose strong.
Go Broncos.
That's right. Whatever.
Used to be the Broncos when I was there.
I think it's, is it? I can't tell. I'm looking at it upside down. I also want to just let you all know that in my role as the Regional Disaster Preparedness Organization liaison, I've been asked whether Metro and RDPO committee supports HB 2208, and there's a corollary in Washington. It would establish a statewide competitive program to provide grants on an annual basis to building owners who implement agreed to retrofit their buildings pre-1993 unreinforced masonry buildings. The bill calls for $20 million in lottery funds to commence the program through future funds. It could come from general fund or other sources later. But voicing our support for this bill now will not require any additional work from Metro staff in Salem. We would simply add our name to the list of RDPO members who support the bill and be represented by RDPO staff as supporting the bill. So if it's okay with all of you, if I see thumbs up, to move forward. Okay, so we'll make that happen. Sasha's been working on this. Sasha Pollock's been working to make sure that this gets done, so I appreciate that. Those are my three things. If there's no other further action before the council, we are adjourned. Thank you so much.
And thanks for doing that letter in the first place, Madam President. Thank you.